Welcome to another Conversations with Community Managers. This is the summer vacation edition. I've slathered myself in coconut enhanced sunscreen and I've got sunglasses on. Shannon, my capable partner in crime, are you there?
I am here and I am also decked out in SPF 50. I'm ready to go. We are totally thrilled to be joined today by Renee Vogt. Renee, we would love if you could introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about where you work, the kind of community you work with, and what SPF sunscreen you wear.
Okay, I'm happy to be here. My name is Renee Vogt, and I manage a network of technical topic communities at Merck & Company. We support the manufacturing division, and I sit in a broader organization called the Knowledge Management Center of Excellence. And because of my fair-skinned nature, I wear typically 30 or higher.
That's safe. That's a safe bet. That's good.
So let's start with a question about a framework that we've heard a little bit about. We heard a rumor through a little bird that you have created a community purpose framework, and we'd love to hear more about what you've done with that.
Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about this. And if you guys, along the way, as we talk about this, if you think of any ideas for a better name, we're very open to it. So we've developed this framework based on a community's primary purpose, right? And so what it does is it helps the stewards, we call our community managers stewards, so it helps the stewards of each community focus on the value they bring to the organization and the associated techniques for realizing that value. And it also allows us to tailor the way we measure a community's value and health. So what was happening is we were trying to figure out how well a community was doing in our network. And what we realized over time, it took a while, what we realized is we couldn't really evaluate that in the same way with every community. So we said, all right, we have to step back and really think about what is the primary purpose of this community. And from there, we can attach to strategic objectives. We can figure out which metrics we want to use, et cetera. And so, you know, it's kind of like that Lean Six Sigma methodology. What is the problem you're trying to solve for? Let's start at the beginning. And so that's how we created this framework. So let me give you an example. If your primary goal is to be a teaching community, and we have many of those in our network, we might focus more on measuring consumption data, right, as opposed to activity data. And we might then link to broader strategic objectives like increasing technical competence or thought leadership on a particular topic, right? For more of our problem-solving communities, we might focus on measuring activity and membership, kind of those tried and true metrics. And then we might link to broader objectives like mitigating disruption in the supply of our products. So what we've done is we have four buckets of different types of community or different purposes for a community within our network. And then from there, we can build out the links to the strategic objectives, how we want to measure, et cetera.
That's fascinating. And as different parts of the organization have embraced this, have you seen any best practices? Has it gone through any revisions up to this point?
Well, this is, you know, so we started in the early days. So we've been at this for about 5 years. And so in the early days, we were just measuring. We didn't have great metrics. We didn't know what to measure. We were just measuring, you know, some of the standard SharePoint metrics, but you couldn't drill down with those. And, you know, we were basically just looking at membership and activity and watching it increase without taking that next step of saying, wait a minute, this activity and membership might be good leading indicators, but what's really happening is people are getting their problem solved more quickly, right, in a more efficient way, and also in a visible way. And so that visibility helps others learn, too, so we're not reinventing the wheel. So those are what we call some of our community KPIs, right? Faster
right.
Problem resolution, ability to expand your network, et cetera. I mean, at the end of the day, so my job at the end of the day is to ensure all of the communities in my network are delivering maximum value back to the organization. And those community stewards are also responsible for ensuring their communities are delivering maximum value back to the organization. And this framework, what this framework really helps us do is identify what those things are, or those value things, and then how to measure it and how best to articulate it. So if you can say to a leader, listen, this teaching community is increasing our technical competence in the small molecule arena, that then people are like, oh, okay, that I understand, right? Because that's a strategic objective for our organization. I'm not sure if
that
I answered your question, Jim, but that...
You did. I mean, it's a really, really smart way of structuring a community program. And, you know, I don't know if there's like generic diagrams that you can share, but that's just, my head is spinning a little bit. I'm thinking of, you know, other folks that I've talked to either on this podcast or just on one-on-one calls where they are looking for that sort of framework. So that's really, really fascinating. Can I ask a follow-on question as well? You mentioned that, you know, your success is really dependent on the success of all of those individual communities and stewards for those communities. Do you bring them together on a regular basis? Do you do any sort of programs to level up their skills and cross-pollinate? I'm just interested in, you know, how much support you have for the stewards in your ecosystem.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we find that the more you invest in the stewards, the better, right? The more you can build their capabilities, the better they are in managing their community. And so very specifically, what we do is every other month, I have what we call a pulse call, which is really just everyone across our 25 communities gets on, all the community stewards or community managers gets on the phone. It's agenda driven. I run it. There's usually a community spotlight. There's usually, you know, a best practice shared. There's often a kind of a did you know or have you seen such and such on this community. And it's also an opportunity for them to ask each other questions and get together. So we do that every other month. And then once a year, we do this thing called a steward forum where we spend 2 days together face-to-face. And this is really... You know, this is where the magic happens, if you will. This is where everyone gets together, and there are so many incredible connections made, and we spend time upskilling, whether it's tech. It's usually some mix of technical upskilling, you know, soft skill, skill building. This year we had the pleasure of having Rob Cross from the University of Virginia. I don't know if you know this guy, but he's done a lot of work around social networks and how social networks drive business, right? So we had Rob Cross come and talk. He gave a talk. He did a workshop. We did a couple of really good activities with him on how to identify central connectors, right, in these communities and what kind of behavior central connectors exhibit and who are the energizers and who are the de-energizers and how to handle those as a community steward. So, we will and can bring in folks like that also. And we always, and this is very important at our forums, we always have a leader come from within the organization to talk about how important our network of communities is in driving the business. And so, you know, it's great to have the external perspective, and everyone really enjoyed Rob's talk and got a lot out of it. But, you know, to hear from your leader or, you know, vice president in the organization, how important it is to the work they do is also really powerful. So we always make sure we have a kind of like a high ranking official, if you will, who can come and talk about its importance with the business. And so we do I'll just say one more thing. We do that. Merck is spread all over the world, as you imagine, but we do one locally in Pennsylvania, which kind of services our Northeast corridor. And then last year was our first time for doing an international one because, you know, as this network of community expands, now we have a lot of international stewards. And so last year, for the first time, we held our first one in the Netherlands, and we had about 15 people from Europe and Asia come and participate in that.
Wow. I'm just, you know, amazed by the depth and breadth of the program you've created there. And I imagine you've got an online component for more kind of real-time question and answer, but that is just fascinating. And, you know, As I was listening to you, I was thinking this is clearly a best practice, or you've just got a really solid handle on how to engage that team, and I can imagine that it being a really valuable call in network. So maybe we'll see if Hillary can get something on the calendar and have you come and share. Maybe there's some other folks that are doing that too.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to.
I really love the sort of dual pronged, I'm not sure the right word. I'm picturing a trident, but that's not right. The acknowledgement that a lot of this can happen online, but there is a in-person component that is invaluable. And I think it's something we see with our members all the time that even for me, working here, the connections you make with people in real life really strengthen how you can work together online and how you can collaborate online. So I love that it's a thoughtful decision you've made, and it sounds like you're having great success, which is so awesome to hear.
Yeah, I so we have kind of like a I'll call him like a community steward superhero, but he's at a plant site in Ireland. And last year when we were planning our forum for the U.S., I said to him, "Listen, I'd really like for you to come and participate in the forum. It would be a great learning opportunity for you, and I think you can share some of your best practices because he's really good at it, et cetera." And so he came, and we had to get permission for him to travel because the travel budgets are so restrictive. But he said to me after the fact, he said, this was the most worthwhile 2 days I have spent anywhere in a long time. I can't, I, it's just, it's so powerful to be able to come and talk to people about what we're doing and what I'm doing and how it's working and, make all those connections and share that face-to-face time. That really made me feel, like this is the right decision.
So great to hear. So I'm going to change gears a little bit. I understand that you have a background in knowledge management. I would love to hear, because I don't have any background in knowledge management, how this has shaped the way you approach community management and how they are similar, dissimilar, and if you have any advice you could offer other knowledge management folks who might want to transition into a formal community role.
Yeah, so for us, for me, these two things are intrinsically linked, meaning I sit in a knowledge management function, right, that supports the business. It's kind of like an above site, what we call an above site function. And these communities that I'm talking about are one of our key capabilities. So in knowledge management, it's all about increasing or enabling the flow of knowledge throughout the organization, right? Identifying where knowledge is not flowing but needs to be, and then helping that group of individuals get the knowledge flowing. And so we have a suite of capabilities that we can deploy across the company to help them enable the flow of knowledge. And it really depends on what the problem is, right? But in some cases, a community is a great solution. In some cases, something more explicit might be a better solution, but in some cases, a community is a good solution. So I own that capability for the Knowledge Management Center of Excellence. So for me, internally at Merck, those things are intrinsically linked. Having said that, knowledge management is a little bit of an ill-defined nebulous space. Sometimes it sits in, we've seen it in learning, sit in learning and development. We've seen it sit in IT. But the key for us is it's not about, right, the solution. It's about identifying the problem and then creating something fit for purpose. And it's certainly not about the technology. The technology for us is the conduit, right? That's how we get things done. That's how we have communities. But we don't focus on the technology, right? The technology, what all of our guiding principles and what we do is intended to be technology agnostic. So we don't build it around the technology. We build what we need, and then the technology enables it. So, advice for anyone working in CAM who might be transitioning to communities, I think for me, and this is not different for KM either, is that focus on the tangible benefits. So just like we do with our communities where we're aligning with strategic objectives, right? And we're aligning with things that are important to the business, right? All of our communities are core, those topics are core to the work that we do. Same with KM, right? How can KM align with these broader strategic objectives? So having your line of sight on the value and those tangible benefits, I think, is a concept that applies in KM and communities, right? Increasing that flow of knowledge and information throughout your company, right? So whether it's communities or other KM-based programs, it's important to aim for and demonstrate that value that you bring to people and the organization.
I think our next question segues from that very nicely. This is my favorite question to ask people because the answers are always all over the place. What is your community superpower?
Yeah, so I actually almost got out in the community and crowdsourced this answer.
Oh, I
wasn't.
Love that.
I know.
That would have been great.
I should still do it.
You should.
I'm going to do it, and I'll report back to you because I'm sure I'm going to get the gamut on that. But I think we have an overarching superpower, right, meaning my team and what we do, and that is that line of sight and focus on business value, right? It aligns, helps align everyone on intent, right? But more specifically, I think my community superpower is something to do with energy and supercharging the communities, right? It's kind of like, because I love coffee, it's my, coffee analogy is of that like extra shot of espresso, right? And I have a lot of tools in my toolkit. So I think, being someone who's naturally good interpersonally, right, helps. But then I also lean on certain mindsets and behaviors that I've learned in my travels. So inclusion is the how. Inclusion is the how came into the manufacturing division from a consulting firm around not what we're going to do, but how we're going to do it. And so it's things like creating a 360-degree vision, right? So allowing people from all walks of life to weigh in on a problem, giving energy back to people, right? And so when people come in to the community for the first time saying, like, great post, welcome, it's great to see you here, those little things, these inclusive principles that our communities are built on really go a long way into creating that safe place for people and energizing people to come back. I get feedback like, wow, this community really makes me feel like I'm part of something larger. And I was very reticent to post at first, but you've made it so easy and so welcoming to do that. And this is where I come to feel like, Merck is a huge place, right? And we have plant sites scattered all over the world. And some of those plants are in very remote areas of the world, too. And so, it's easy for me because I sit here in Pennsylvania. There's a huge hub here in Pennsylvania. We have our corporate headquarters in New Jersey. So I'm sort of connected geographically. But for those people who are not connected geographically, this can be a very powerful tool for engaging and making people feel like they're part of, something bigger. And change management, that's another, this is especially at a company like Merck, which is full of, highly skilled technical people, engineers and scientists, being very open about having a problem or being very open about saying I need help hasn't always been the culture here. So I rely a lot on, a lot of those like change management principles too. And so I've got a little help and extra coffee doesn't help either. But, I would say that was a long-winded way of saying, good energy.
Well, that's, I think energy is probably a common trait for a lot of successful community practitioners because it's as a good friend of ours likes to say, community management can often be pushing a boulder up a hill. And so having high energy and enthusiasm can get others to join in the fun.
It's been very interesting at Merck because these communities are very technical, right? And so technical in the work we do, right, in the manufacturing world. And so what we've learned is, just because someone's an SME for that topic. So this is how we would choose stewards back in the beginning. They would typically be voluntold, right? and they were someone who was an SME on that topic, right? So, well, they know so much about this topic. Great. So we put them as the steward on the community. The community wouldn't do anything. We were like, what's going on? But it's these soft skills, you know, these highly technical folks, just because you have expertise on the topic doesn't mean you're going to be a good community manager, right? And so you have to really, there's so many soft skills that go into managing a successful community that we've changed our focus from who's an SME to who's got the energy to do this and the right set of soft skills to do this. And then we build from there.
It's a great lesson learned. Just you can't always pluck the SMEs and, to use your phrase, you know, voluntold them that this is what they're doing, because you more than likely will fail. So good lesson learned. Now back to our summer vacation, because we're all slathered up with our favorite sunscreen. We know that you're not sending your kids off to camp. Where are you headed? Do you have plans?
I have really big plans this summer. We are going to Hawaii.
That's amazing.
I know. My uncle was in the Navy, and he was stationed in Hawaii for his last stint. And of course, when it came time for him to leave the Navy, he was like, I'm going to stay here in Hawaii because it's amazing. So
fantastic.
He's lived there for about 20 years, and my parents try to go every 4 or 5 years to visit. So anyway, this is a year. My kids are old enough. I think they can handle the trip. This is a year that they're going, and we're going to join them. So at the end of the summer, we're going to spend about 2 weeks in Hawaii.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
I know. It's so great. I can't wait.
So are we going to see pictures of you on a surfboard?
Well, probably. Probably.
Yeah, it's like when in Rome, right?
Exactly. How can you not get on a surfboard? And they're baby waves, right, this time of year. So we're going
right.
to be on the North Shore, and it's all baby waves. So I can handle it. You will see a picture of me jumping off a famous cliff, too. Not too high, but there's like a famous area where you can jump off these rocks into the water. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
That sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much. I know what it sounds like now you are incredibly busy. And we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today so we could learn a little bit more about what you're working on. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Look, it was great talk. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.